Not just that, in our text in verse 5, it mentions the offerings. What that's referring to are the decorations outside of the temple. There were golden plates. Josephus, a Jewish historian at the time, talks about these golden plates that were outside of the temple. They were so flashy that the encouragement was of visitors as they were entering into Jerusalem was to wear their sunglasses. Thanks for laughing, Lindy. Man, you're the only one. They didn't have sunglasses back then. But the encouragement was this. The encouragement was to look down as you walked into Jerusalem. Because, you see, the offerings on the temple were so bright and amazing that people got confused with that, with the sun, the rays of the sun. What an amazing building this is. And so when Jesus says, this building that you are adoring has an expiration date, I'm pretty sure they all were thinking, no way. No way is this building going away. And sure enough, one generation, AD 66 to AD 70, the Romans, the Gentiles, the text talks about, the Gentiles come in and they trample the Jews in Jerusalem. 100,000 people, Josephus writes, 100,000 people are taken out of the city. That temple is burned to the ground, and it was true. Jesus got it right. Not one stone was left on top of the other. That temple does not exist anymore. There is no temple. It's gone. This first expiration date, I think we all could say, well, that doesn't apply to us. That's first century. But there is an application for us that I just want to highlight here, and that's this. Everything around us, every material and tangible object, everything that we adore, everything that we hold sacred and that shows strength and stability, everything has an expiration date. And will end. Jesus then talks about a second expiration date. And this one's even gloomier than the first one. Oh man, pastor, gloomy sermon today. But that's Jesus. He's speaking it here. And the second expiration date, Jesus is talking about this really gruesome and day full of great wrath. Now that day has a technical term in the Old Testament. The prophets would talk about it. And that day is called the Day of Yahweh, the Day of the Lord. And so if you go back and review the prophets who came 7 centuries before Christ, Isaiah would say this, it would be a day that's gruesome and dark, a day of great wrath in which the earth is shattered, Isaiah 13 says. The prophet Joel says this, that it's a cataclysmic day in which the sun refuses to shine, the moon stops working, and the stars no longer work as well and shine light. Peter, in 2 Peter, says this about this great day of the Lord. This is in the New Testament. Peter says that the heavens will be shaken and the earth will be removed from its place. Heavy language here. So when you think Jesus here, you might think, oh, he's such a nice guy. He's going to soften the message of the day of the Lord. He is about love and God's mercy. But do you see in what Jesus is talking about in this passage, it's not gentle and loving. It's a warning. Verse 11, he says that there's going to be pestilence, deadly disease. Back up 2 verses to verse 9, Jesus talks about how there's going to be war and tumults and difficulty, nation against nation. And Jesus agrees on this day cosmically, the world as we know it is going to be altered. The sun, there will be signs in the sun and in the stars. See, everything that we count on this day of the Lord, everything that we count on to happen cosmically, the sunset, the sunrise, walks on the beach, the taking a look at the mountains, it will be gone. See, there's an expiration date on this world. And here's the frustrating part. At least the yogurt gives you a date. November 6th. Man, at least milk, you know, it tells you November 6th, I can count on it. Notice Jesus gives a gruesome picture here, all consuming, but it's very frustrating because there's no date. Pastor, where's the good news? You're supposed to share the good news with us at church every Sunday. Okay, we'll get there. There was a competition for an art project in a community on the West Coast a few years back. And the competition was this. It asks artists in the community to portray the subject of peace. What a great, wholesome thing to do. And artists delivered paintings that was there. It was their interpretation of peace. One person gave a picture that was high up in the mountains with a lake, and there wasn't anything wrong. It was a beautiful picture. Tranquility and calmness. Your blood pressure just went down looking at the painting. An eagle flew up in the distance, and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. Nothing to worry about. Makes sense. Another artist delivered a prairie with a sun setting, a very simple picture. Again, nothing in the picture that would cause any worry or anxiety. These were really good paintings that portrayed peace and calmness.